My name is Pastor Michael Eaton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly Eaton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or a teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael Eaton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the Word.
We'll move all the doubt and cause the sun to shine and give us peace of mind.
Bethlehem,
oh, that's pretty good. Somebody was a little pausing a little bit, but we're still on the same theme. Bethlehem. Amen. That is the theme for our new year, is that we want to make him known. And who is him?
Jesus Christ.
And we're taking as our theme verse, Acts chapter 5, starting with verse 20, go stand and speak. Go stand and speak, because that's what God wants us to do, to make him known throughout this whole year. Amen? Amen. Tonight, we're going to share a message entitled, Revival on Church Street. Revival on Church Street. And we're going to be talking about revivals for the next two messages in my series. The next one is Sunday. We're going to talk about revival on Straight Street. Revival on Straight Street. But we're going to talk tonight on revival on Church Street. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 36. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 36. And let's read this out loud together at the same time. It's two slides. It's in your handouts. On three. One, two, three. Amen and praise the Lord. Again, tonight we're going to be looking at a message entitled Revival on Church Street. Revival on Church Street. And we're going to look and see the different dynamics of this revival. First of all, we're going to see that they teamed. Then we're going to see that they testified. And then we're going to see that they treasured. They teamed, they testified, and they treasured. We want Christians to know tonight that Christians should follow the example of the early church revival. Christians should follow the examples of the early church revival. One of the things that I have been seeking as pastor of this church is I've been seeking revival. And I posed and asked myself this question, why am I, as pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church, seeking revival? And I began to reflect on why I began to seek revival. It's because it seemed like that revival is so near. I've explained it and I've talked about it to some of the ministers. It seems like we are near or at that point of revival. Then how do you define revival? What is revival? Charles Finley defined revival as a revival is nothing else than a new beginning of obedience to God. A revival is nothing else but a new beginning of obedience to God. And that's what Charles Finley said. Charles Spurgeon had a little bit more to say about what revival is. He says, oh, men and brothers, what would this heart feel if I could but believe that there was some among you who would go home and pray for a revival of men whose faith is large enough and their love fiery enough to lead us from this moment to exercise unceasing intercession, that God would appear to us and do wondrous things here as in times of the former generations. So revival seems to be obedience to God, but not only obedience to God, but it's God, because of our obedience, pouring out and doing miraculous things within the life of our church or within the lives of us as individuals. So why shouldn't we seek revival? And I couldn't help but think that this is what was going on in the early church. It's probably best defined as revival as opposed to revival, because it was the very beginning of the church and God began to move and tremendous and awesome and miraculous ways. And there was a wonderful spirit of unity, a wonderful spirit of harmony, a wonderful spirit of love. I pray that that's what we can be more of, because I've seen the potential. The potential is there. We just need a little bit more. We just need a little bit more reviving. And if we're going to have a revival on Church Street like they had in their church, in the early church, first of all, we have to team together. For it says in the text that all the believers were of one heart and one mind. Boy, that's incredible. For all the believers to be of one heart, and not only one heart, but to be of one mind, one heart to serve the Lord, one heart to love the Lord, but not only one heart, but that their minds were all on serving and loving the Lord, of doing those two great commandments that Jesus left behind and put 10 on two, to love God and to love your neighbor. Oh, what revival would take place if we could really be of one heart and of one mind, if we could love God and then begin to love our neighbors. Oh, and Bethlehem has a lot of that, but we still have to grow. We have a lot of that, but we still need to grow. There's some amongst us that need to grow, and some amongst us that need to realize that we are all a part of the same team. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, or neighbor, I'm on your team, whether you know it or not. We're all a part of one team, for it says that all the believers were of one heart and of one mind, and this is the way you really, really see whether you have one heart and one mind is in the area of finances. And in the area of finances, it says that no one claimed that any of their possessions were their own. But they shared everything they had. I was looking at the movie. I think it's a movie entitled "What Happened to the Morgans," and the Morgans had got in trouble in the big city. I think that was the name of the movie. They got in trouble in the big city of New York, and they had to go under the witness protection program, and they ended out in a small town. I forgot where it was. I think somewhere like Montana, somewhere. Yeah, Montana. And the interesting thing that would happen in that small town is that they didn't have a car. So as they walked out the diner and they were talking to the doctor and they didn't have a car, and he said, "Hey, you can take my car." And he says, "The keys are in them. The keys are in them." And in that small place, they left the keys in the cars, and anybody could take it. He said, "Now, you can take it as long as you have it back." And some of you may have grown up in that kind of community. What a kind of oneness is there when you can share your possession? You say, "Where I come from, you better not leave the keys in the car." Where I come from, you leave the keys in the car, you ain't gonna have no car. They ain't gonna bring it back. Ended up in Mexico somewhere. But there's a time when you get into a community, a close knit community, where they leave the keys in the car and they leave the house door open, and you can take the car and you can come in the house and oh, what a community. This is the kind of place that this was back there on Church Street. No one claimed that any of their possession was their own, but they were. They shared anything they had. Boy, are you willing to share? We want to be have revival. Are you willing to share? Are you willing to share? If you have two or three cars, will you let somebody that don't have a car share? If you have two or three suits, would you let a brother borrow a suit? If you have two or three chickens, will you let them, you know, they ain't gonna borrow the chicken. You eat the chicken, they ain't gonna come back. But what a wonderful place it is when people are not so materialistic. People, they have bigger houses than they ever have, and they put gates around it so nobody can get in. Hello, somebody. And they have to hire security guards and camera systems to keep their stuff to themselves. No, if God bless you, he didn't just bless you for yourself. He bless you so that you can share with somebody else. Say it to your neighbor. Neighbor, poor neighbor, we're all a part of the same team. So we need to share up in here, up in here. All a part of the same team. You see, that's true revival, where you're not caught up in self and you treat people more important than you treat stuff. Oh, because you realize that person is created in the image of God, and as a result, that person is the most important thing. Hello, somebody. The revival in Church Street started. Oh, it was marvelous. It's marvelous. It reminded me of some of the way some of you talk about how it used to be back in the day in this community. And there are other older folk that used to talk about the way it used to be. My mom and them used to talk about the way it was in the country. Hello, somebody. Well, you know, we can have the country right here. Hello, somebody. If we allow the Spirit of God to really to take over, we release our stuff, not hold on to our stuff. Many of us can't be blessed because when God blessed us with a penny, we clench our fists. Hello, somebody. Now you got it closed. He want to give you a quarter now, but you won't open your hand with the penny. God wants us to experience this kind of revival. Boy, what a wonderful place. What a wonderful place it would be if we had this kind of revival. They teamed. They were one in heart, and they were one in mind, and everybody shared what they had. Reminds me of what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 32, verse 39. It says, "And I will give them singleness of heart and action." And that's what we got to have to pray, that God would give us singleness of heart and action, that God would give us one heart and one mind so that he can work in marvelous and miraculous ways. That we would experience this kind of revival. We need to pray, "Lord, revive us, O Lord, revive us, O Lord. Take us from this materialistic place and put us in a place, Lord, where we can be of one heart, where we can be of one mind. And everything I have, I keep with an open hand so that God can use it for somebody else." Let me tell you again. God bless you. He doesn't just bless you for yourself. He blesses you so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. Hello, somebody. They teamed. They were all a part of one team. Not only did they team together, but they also testified. Say to your neighbor, poor neighbor, when was the last time you testified? For it says in verse 33, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work amongst them. If you want God to be at work amongst us, if we want, and really we want God to be at work amongst us this whole year, because our theme is to make him known. And if we're going to make him known, then we're going to have to testify. And if we testify, then it says that God's grace would be powerfully at work amongst us. So if we want true revival, we must revive ourselves in obeying the word of God so that God can move in miraculous and wondrous ways. And the way that we do that is we testify about Jesus Christ. Can anybody here testify about who Jesus is? And when was the last time you testified about who Jesus is? Testifying is really just witnessing, being called to the witness stand, and somebody say, "Who is Jesus to you?" Can you testify like Tim Tebow testified and have the whole world talking about Tebowing? Tebowing! Wow! Can you testify? You tell you that Jesus, first of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He testifies, and that's why God is using him in a marvelous and miraculous way within the NFL to do stuff that folk couldn't believe that he could do. Folks said he couldn't play on the next level. Well, maybe he couldn't play on the next level, but when he began to testify about who Jesus was, God began to do the miraculous. Where people are beginning to wonder, does God care about football? Is God on this man's side? Hello, somebody. Because he testifies. He testifies. A testimony. In college, he used to have John 3:16 under his eye. And in his last game, he threw for how many yards? 316 yards. John 3:16. Testify. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Can you testify? Who is Jesus to you? Jesus to me is everything. Jesus to me. Can you testify? Because Because when you testify, God will begin to work powerfully amongst you, powerfully amongst your hands, powerfully amongst your word, powerfully amongst your ministry, because you testify about who Jesus is. One thing that I cannot stand is when I look at television and there's supposed to be preaching going on the television, and you never hear about Jesus. They never tell you who Jesus is, never testify about who Jesus is. Some of them don't even use the word of God. And how can you really testify if you don't let folks know who Jesus is? Oh, and Bethlehem, oh, it's, we should all be about Jesus. Jesus in the morning, Jesus at night, Jesus in the midday, Jesus every second, Jesus every moment, Jesus every hour of the day. Jesus, 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 Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Can you testify if they put you on the witness stand? Who could Jesus be to you? Hello, somebody. Well, for me, he is my all and all, my everything. I don't have anything without Jesus. Some of you have stuff without Jesus. You're successful, really, without Jesus. And you have a lot of stuff going for you other than the church. For me, that's all it is. For me, all it is Jesus. That's why I take this ministry so personally. Oh, it's because Jesus is all I have. He's everything to me. Hello, somebody. Is he everything to you? If not, you need to be revived. Oh, you need to be revived. Oh, because anything good you testify about. Hello, somebody. And it's unsolicited testimony. Oh, I hear we got a new restaurant in town, a fancy new restaurant. No, I didn't see a commercial. I didn't hear about it on the radio. People were talking about it and testifying about it. Oh, and they say that it's real good. I want us as a church to begin to testify about Jesus so much that people will literally walk through these doors and look at the pulpit to see where Jesus is. Ooh, that's deep, isn't it? That's deep. Jesus is alive. He sits on the right hand of the Father. It's our job to testify about him. It shouldn't be about the preacher. Come here, my preacher. No. Oh, the preacher is not enough. Oh, the preacher is not enough. They should come here looking for Jesus. And where Jesus is that touched? Where Jesus is that healed? Where that Jesus is that save my brother? What did Jesus is that save my mother? Where is he at? Let me see who he is, because we testify so much about Jesus. Ooh, that's deep, that's deep, that's deep. Are you ready to testify? Because when you testify, oh, God begins to use his grace and move powerfully, as it says in the text. Oh, with great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of Jesus and God's grace. God's grace. I love that word grace. God's grace. God's unmerited favor. God's grace. God's grace that can save anybody from the uttermost to the guttermost. God's grace. His grace begins to move so much that folk on the streets, under the tree, begin to get saved. Folk in the corporate office begin to get saved. Everybody from all walks and talks of life begin to get saved, because we decided this year to testify, to make him know. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, you better make him known up in here, up in here. Give God a hand clap of praise on a Wednesday night. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power. power, and that power was the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, the Holy Spirit has already come, and if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've got the Holy Spirit down on the inside of you. And if you want to make the Holy Spirit happy on the inside of you, then begin to talk about Jesus. There's no other subject that the Holy Spirit likes more than Jesus. Turn the conversation to Jesus. Oh, and let the world know about God's grace, God's mercy, God's love. Oh, it's for you and for you and for you who don't have him. You can have testified by the power of the Holy Spirit that's down on the inside of you. Testify. Hello, somebody. I'm getting happy up in here talking about Jesus. 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 Oh, Lord. And you, he said, you will be quiet in Jerusalem. Y'all didn't say you'd be quiet. Come on now. Read the book. It says you're going to be my witnesses. And Jerusalem is where you are at. Your Jerusalem is right where you're at, right in your house, right in your home. And in Judea is the neighboring, the neighbors and the community around you. And Samaria is, you may be in Davis, but Samaria is Paul's family, or vice versa. Oh, and to the ends of the earth. Oh, testify. Oh, folk would say that it's impossible to reach the end of the earth. But with technology, television reaches to the end of the earth. Radio signals reach to the ends of the earth. Satellites reach into the ends of the earth. The internet, that everyday household item now called the internet, you can touch and reach somebody from Paul's Valley, and they can be in the United Kingdom, they can be in China, just from that tool called the internet, and let alone that cell phone that you got, because you can text somebody in Africa, in Asia. Everybody can reach somebody to the ends of the earth today, but we've got to be willing to testify about who Jesus is. Talk about it on Facebook. Text about it on your cell phone. Text and talk and testify to the goodness of who God is. Tell your neighbors. Tell the neighbor next to you and the neighbor after that. Tell the person that you meet in the grocery store. Tell that person in the beauty shop about Jesus. Tell that person at the car wash about Jesus. Go and talk about Jesus under the tree. On the corner for Christ. Tell somebody, testify about who Jesus is. He's already given us the Spirit, and the Spirit wants to be at work, but we've got to open our mouths. We've got to go stand and preach or teach in Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, you better testify up in here. We want to make him known. And we can make him known in any way now. Everybody's not called to be a preacher like Pastor Eton. Maybe you can play football like Tim Tebow. Maybe you can play basketball like A.C. Green. Are you and any other Christians playing any other sports that testify or doing anything? You can testify about who Jesus is. And guess what? If you open your mouth and testify, God will bless you. God will move wondrously amongst you. Maybe God needs your voice to reach somebody in the box that my voice can't reach. Somebody can't hear preaching, or somebody can't hear my preaching. That's why God calls so many different preachers, and we all are not supposed to sound the same. We all have a unique voice. Some of us preach with a loud voice like Pastor Eton. Others, like you'll hear Paul, who announced his call to preach. All he does is talk in whispers. Hello, somebody. God wants to use something on us to testify about who Jesus is. And this is a true revival on Church Street. When you realize whose team you're on, then you realize, oh, the play. Hello, somebody. And this is the play. The play is when we leave this place, we're supposed to go and testify. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, you better testify in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We're talking about revival on Church Street. And they teamed together. They were together in one heart and one mind. They teamed together. And then they testified about the resurrection of Jesus. And when they testified, God's grace began to abound even still more. And not only that, that they teamed, that they testified, but they treasured. They treasured. The Bible says that where your heart is, that's where your treasures. Hello, somebody. And in this text, we have an example of a man by the name of Barnabas. Barnabas gave. Barnabas didn't just give what he had. He went out and sold the field that he owned. You see, when God is at work within us, when true revival is taking place, we really don't have to beg for an offering. If revival truly took place, oh, within our lives, within our hearts, we'll have to beg folk to give to the building fund. We'll have to beg folk to do your duty as a member of Bethlehem, which is to give 10%. Oh, because we believe in tithing here. It's not that controversial. A dime on every dollar. Try him and see, won't he open up the windows of heaven and pour out the blessings that you won't have room enough to receive. You're selling yourself short if you're not giving to God. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, or neighbor, you're selling yourself short if you're not giving to God. I cannot afford not to give. Hello, somebody. I have to pay. If I have to pay anybody, I have to pay God first. Hello, somebody. It's number one priority. I pay God first, and I trust him to take care of the rest. I have to give to God. Oh, because I live for God. And because I live for God, and I testify about who he is, oh, then of course I want to support the cause. Oh, you're a part of the team. Oh, ask your neighbor, neighbor, or neighbor, are you a part of your team? Well, this team costs. This team costs. Oh, I was at the gym, working out at the gym, and I see at the gym that they're putting together a basketball league. Guess what? You put together a basketball team, but in order to play in the league, guess what you've got to do as a team? You got to pay $100 fee to be a part of their league. Every team has to pay to be a part of the league. Hello, somebody. Oh, and I saw them doing a volleyball league. You'll think that volleyball is different. It's not basketball. But in the volleyball league, if you're going to put together a team and you're going to play in the league, guess what? Your team has to pay a fee too. Hello, somebody. Everywhere you go, in order to be in the gym, oh, you you got to pay a fee. And there are many folk that are paying a fee, and they don't even show up at the gym. Hello, somebody. But they're paying their fee everywhere you go. Oh, if you want to catch a plane, you got to pay a fee. You want to catch a bus. Maybe if I don't want to fly, oh, maybe if I just catch a bus, I'll be able to get on the bus for free. No, I got to pay a fee on the bus. When I was in high school and my buddies wanted to ride in my car, guess what? They had to pay a fee. Oh, have to pay for the gas money. Everything has a fee to it. And the church, there's a fee to it. Because when we want to go and build a church, we won't be able to go to a lumber company and say that we are a church. Oh, and God said for us to get some lumber. And the lumberman will say, well, if God told you to get some lumber, where is the test, the check to what? To pay the fee for the lumber. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. This man, he went over and above his regular giving. Hello, somebody. Well, when somebody's being challenged tonight to go over and above your regular giving, you have been blessed, oh, with some land. You have been blessed with some houses. You've been blessed with some cars. And God is saying, in order to get things accomplished in your behalf, I want you to go out and sell that land. I want you and put it at the feet, oh, of the leaders of the church, that they may accomplish this new building, that they may accomplish the ministry of the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And one thing you know is that none of us are getting rich off of what you give. Hello, somebody. Because nobody here has a Learjet that I think of. Nobody has a big boat. Nobody, oh, here has a mansion on the top of a hill and cattle on the thousand hills. Oh, so we can be a good steward. Oh, of your giving. Hello, somebody. This man sold a field he owned and brought it. Oh, and brought the money and put it at the disciples' feet. This tells us 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 7 tells us this. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. If you give God a penny, you're going to get a penny kind of blessing. If you give God a dime, you're going to get a dime kind of blessing. If you give God a dollar, you're going to get a dollar kind of blessing. If you give God $5, you're going to get $5 worth of blessing. Oh, and he may double it. You may get 10 off of 5. Oh, hello, somebody. You may get 2 pennies off of 1 penny. He may double it. Oh, and maybe you'll get $2 off of $1. But if you give, and you give, oh, the way God has placed upon your heart, and then you give, oh, generously, guess what? You'll be blessed generously. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. For it says, and whosoever sows generously will also reap generously. You want to be blessed. Give more. Oh, let me say that again. If you want to be blessed, give more. Hello, somebody. If you want to be blessed, give more. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, if you want to be blessed, you better give more. In Jesus' name. Over and above your regular giving, I tell this testimony too much. And I'm going to tell it again. The reason why I'm in the ministry today preaching behind this pulpit is because I gave over and above my regular giving. I was giving to my church there in Concord, and I gave a dime on every dollar. Oh, for God had placed it upon my heart, oh, to reach out to a young college student. And he needed tuition for his next tuition. And God laid it upon my heart Master. Even when I knew that I wasn't going to be it, I was moving on from Concord. Oh, and God laid it upon my heart to give to that young man. And I didn't know who I was giving to. Oh, but that young man was telling his daddy about everything I did for him, whether it was giving or inviting him in my home or feeding him or taking him with me. He told him everything, and he heard that this young preacher wanted to pass. Oh, and because of what I was doing for his son, over and above my regular giving, God still to this day has been paying off that little sacrifice that I made over and over and over again. I gave generously, and God keeps pouring out, opening the windows of heaven. Oh, and he blessed me in Abilene, and he blessed me even more here at Bethlehem over and over again. But it started with my giving. Hello, somebody. If you want to be blessed more, oh, listen to the voice of God and give more. And I said, listen to the voice of God and give more.
Amen. Amen.
Because you can't give everybody something. E.K. Bailey used to say, find somebody that's going somewhere and help them out. You see, you probably would never see me give my money to somebody on the side of the road saying that I'll work for food, because I kind of figure that if you'll work for food, then you'll be somewhere signing an application to go get a job to work for food, or at the very least, go to the places where the men come with the pickup and pick up day laborers. Hello, somebody, and go out and work for food. Hello, somebody. So God doesn't want us to get foolishly.
Oh, amen.
He can't say, find somebody that's fat, oh, which means faithful, available, and teachable, and help them and give to them. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But it says, whosoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you shall give what you have decided in your heart to give. Give what you have decided in your heart to give. But don't give it reluctantly. You hear me say? If it hurts you, to give a dollar, then keep it. You may do better with 50 cents. If it hurts you to give $20, then keep it. You may do better with $10. But do know you're going to sow what you'll reap. So if you're reluctant to give, then you won't get blessed. Hello, somebody. Not reluctantly or even under compulsion. Don't give because the preacher says to give. That's under compulsion. Don't give because of who God is. Give because you're on this scene. Give because you're testifying about Jesus. Give because you treasure what God is doing in your life, and anything that you treasure, you're willing to pay for. Hello, somebody. Let me say that again. Anything that you treasure, you're willing to pay for. And everybody has something in their life that's really stupid that you're paying for. It's stupid for you to do that. Hello, somebody. But it's not stupid to you. Some of you carrying around a $1,000 purse. I'm sorry. And don't have $5 in it. I don't mean to matter. It's not stupid to you. But guess what? It's stupid to me. Oh, young boys want to pay $150 for a pair of Jordans. And the way I think that's stupid, unless you play in the NBA. And guess what? Most of them guys that play in the NBA don't even pay for them. They give them to them for free. Hello, somebody. And you paying for it. Hello, somebody. But we give to what we treasure. Hello, somebody. And that's why God says, don't give. I don't take the stuff under reluctance. I don't take it under compulsion. But God loves a cheerful giver. And that word cheerfully, literally from the Greek, means hilarious. There should be laughter during offering time. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Let me say that again. There should be laughter during offering time. Hello, somebody. Oh, I get to give today. I was waiting on giving today. Anybody have a game like that? You should be laughing, Lord, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Hello, somebody. You ready to give? You want to give? You happy to give? Let me give. Oh, I remember in the Old Testament, they wanted to build a temple. Oh, and they took up an offering. The people gave so much, they had to say, hey, stop bringing the money. We got everything that we need. Wow. That don't happen in too many pastors. As a matter of fact, in some of our churches, they'll get in their county, and it's not enough, and they'll bring that plate back. Not here, not here, not here. Not here, but we've been in some places. And they can say, hey, that's not enough. And they pass the plate again. And we should be saying, all right, I get to give again. Now, you want to tick us off? Give another offering. I done gave one time now. But the Lord loves a cheerful giver in a society of revival. Again, because we began with this, that nobody owns anything anyway. Oh, we're on one mind and one heart. Everything we have belongs to everybody else. So when it's time to give, we can give and give generously and know that we don't give in vain. Know that this is the best investment on planet Earth, is to invest in the things of God. Oh, you may have a 401k today. Oh, and tomorrow you lose half of it. Oh, you may be smart in stocks and bonds, and you may be wealthy today, but you may be like that man about 2 years ago who lost $1 billion in one day. Oh, you cannot lose giving to God. Hello, somebody. You cannot lose. You need to give to him cheerfully. That's a part of the revival. They teamed, they testified, and they treasured the things of God. So much so, this man of God by the name of Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. So, wow. I have three cars, and I only need two. I'm going to sell one and give it to the church. I have some land. I'm going to sell this land, and I'm going to give it, the money, the cash money, to the church. Hello, somebody. What a man. What a man. If I had time, I'd tell you about the other two that tried to do a counterfeit offering. And they lost their lives trying to counterfeit what this man did from his heart. Hello, somebody. God, again, he doesn't want you to give reluctantly or under compulsion. He doesn't want you to give to impress people. And that's why you hear me being so hard on some of the churches in the big city where they have their $1,000 line giving. Hello, somebody. You need to stay away from that line. Hello, somebody. Revival takes place. We tame, we testify, and we treasure. And when we do that, God works in wonderful and miraculous ways. And God brings revival. Hello, somebody. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your word, Lord. Revival on Church Street, Father. And we pray, Father, that you would move on this street, on Dunbar. Move within this street, Father. Within this church, Bethlehem. We're praying for revival.
Hello again,
Father.
This is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. But first of all, before we sign off, We just want to make sure, Lord, that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died, God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born into the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listen throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family. Because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby. Thank you for and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home. And put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms, and we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it. Tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people. $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God. And I believe God can do it for us. And we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art building, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com.